Okay, let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10.
Hopefully that people do see Christ in you. Mr. Todd just wrote that song here on the way to church, was it? No, it was sometime recently, though. And Ecclesiastes, chapter number 10. And we're also going to look at Ephesians, chapter number 5 for a moment, too. So if you'd like to turn your Bible over there, you're welcome to, or you can just listen to it. But the main thought of the message is found here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. We've been going through the book of Ecclesiastes on Wednesday night during this past fall, and we're getting up close to chapter number 10. There is still a little passage in chapter number 9 we're going to look at this coming Wednesday, but there's only a few more chapters left. But I know the Lord spoke to my heart while being out about giving this message on a Sunday night for everyone to hear, specifically this Sunday night. And looking forward to what God's going to speak to our hearts about tonight. The title of tonight's message is it's a little bit different. It's Something Stinks. So Something Stinks. You ever been around something that stinks? You have teenage boys, you know, sometimes their feet, their room, things like that. Maybe after sweaty practice and things like that. And when something smells, it can mess things up. And that's what it's talking about here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, verse number 1. The dead flies cause the ointment of apothecary. Now, you're going to have to be patient with me. I've been practicing that word all day, and I got good at it earlier, but of course now I'm messing as apothecary. So that is the special ointment they would have back then. And with the ointment, it was something that would be very, very fragrant. It would be very beautiful, it would be very expensive, very smelly. Even some of it was used as an ointment to help heal things. It was something they would rub something into at different times. There's different forms of it. And what the Bible is saying here, it says to send forth a stinking savor, that a dead fly can cause this beautiful fragrance to stink. And tonight we're going to look at about something that stinks. I mentioned in Sunday school class, and it wasn't to brag, but at the same time, it's just to show you where I grew up, that from a baby all the way up there, this is the first time in my life that I can remember. Of course, my mom might call me up and tell me I'm wrong, but first time in my life that I remember that I missed two Sundays not being at a church in my entire life. Thankful for the heritage I have with my family, my mom, dad wanting me to be in church, and the bus drivers that took me there, and, you know, for the last 17, 18 years here. You know, of course, this past spring, people couldn't be here presently or physically. We had to preach live stream, but there was about five or six of us here, and I still had the privilege of coming then. And yes, I did watch church last Sunday, just wasn't in, it was in my house. And it is different, and it is thankful for the technology. I know that some things that only certain people can do, but it's not idea. You don't get a chance to minister. You don't get a chance to fellowship. So as much as we can, we're going to have church, and as much as we can, as we want people feeling comfortable, but we want them to be here because this is important. Church is important. It makes a priority of it. And you say, Pastor, what are you saying all of that for? And the reason why is because there's certain things that stink in church. And he's like, what do you mean? Well, there's a picture here of something that's really beautiful, something that's very fragrant, and something that smells really good. But then something gets inside of it, and it causes it to stink. Now, if you read the rest of the verse, it even goes as far as saying, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. So what the scripture is saying here, if a man has a good reputation or a lady has a good reputation, and look what this word says, wisdom and honor. Before honor comes humility, so someone who's humble, someone who's honorable, someone who's known for being wise, when they commit a little bit of folly, it makes their reputation bad. And you say, okay, I get that, I see that. And I want to try to bring application to this thinking is, there are certain things that a church should represent, and certain things a church should offer a sweet-smelling savor to. But then there's other things that you can call them a dead fly, you can call them whatever they want, foolish things that if it gets inside of a church or if it gets inside an individual, it stinks and it smells bad. And something that is supposed to be beautiful, something that's supposed to be fragrant, something that's supposed to be cherished, something that is supposed to bring enjoyment to people, Instead, because of some type of dead fly in their life, it causes them to stink. Now, obviously, we're not talking about physically. We're talking about with their attitudes and their actions. The Bible's saying here that this perfume or this oil, this beautiful fragrance, it can be ruined. It can no longer smell beautiful if the flies got in and died. Same thing if the ointment was used for a medicine or a purpose of healing. If that dead fly got inside that and caused this germs, it would cause it to be worthless. Even could cause harm to an injury. Solomon is penning these words about flies that take something that's beautiful and makes it stink. And there's things that happen in our own lives. And you say, Pastor, there's nothing beautiful about me. If Christ lives in you, there's supposed to be something beautiful. If Christ is there, as Mr. Todd was saying, if this people see Christ in you, do they see that beauty? Do they see the love, the joy, peace, the long-suffering? Do they see the fruits of the Spirit? Do they see Christ in you? Because if they see that, you know what that is? That's beautiful. That's something that's sweet-smelling. That's something that is an attractive thing. That's something that's a good thing. But there are different things in people's lives that are dead flies that they let them come and land on their life, and they stay there, and they fester, and instead of being something that is attractive, and instead of being something that is welcoming, instead of being something that is something that people want to be like, it stinks. And so there's tonight, let's look a little bit about this. There are people in our lives that we look at and we're like, wow, there's something special. There's something sweet about them. There are certain people you just come across and say, hey, that's someone who walks with God. And then there's been other times and I've looked at somebody, I've been impressed with somebody from a distance, and then I got to spend some time with them. And as I got to see their actions and got to hear what they said, it stunk. It wasn't good. It's sort of like you think all these kids are wonderful and they're great, beautiful, and never do anything wrong. Then you take them to camp and you realize they're kids. They make mistakes. At camp, sometimes they do stink. Sometimes there's a smell there. But you look at some of these kids and you see them and you say, man, if they will just give their life to the Lord, they have so much talent. They have so much going for them. They're in a good church or in a good family. They have these gifts that God's given them. They're getting training. There's a lot of wonderful things. You look at them, but what happens when they allow something like a bad attitude, something like pride, something like not being willing to take advice or wisdom? They let things come into their life to where they just stink. And don't get me wrong, kids are kids. We love them. We all grow up. We all learn and we all grow. But we do know that there are certain things in people's lives that when they allow it to happen, it just causes it not to be good anymore. Something that God intended to be beautiful, something that God intended to be wanted, no longer is attractive because of the fact they've let a dead fly into their life. Let's have a word of prayer. Ask God's help tonight, and then we'll jump into this. Something stinks. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful for tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here to give this message and this thought about, Lord, how these sins can really ruin a life. One that is supposed to be a sweet-smelling savor as a sacrifice to God. It can be something that stinks because we've chosen to let things fester in our lives. Lord, there's a lot of things that can stink in a person's life. And I pray that we take and we think about this just biblical example and illustration, and we check our own lives. See if there's something in there that's repulsive. See if there's something in there that we need to clean up, or something in there that we've allowed to land into our lives that really isn't attracting people to Christ. Instead, it's turning people away. Lord, this morning, we're thankful for the things we heard about, such as I have, give I unto thee. And Lord, we have a lot to offer this world, but sometimes people don't want to listen just because we do things that are not Christ-like. Lord, speak to our hearts tonight. Encourage us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you got your Bible in Ephesians chapter number 5, go ahead and turn it to Ephesians chapter number 5. So, something stinks. The first point is, and we won't spend long here, something that smells good. Something that smells good. If something's going to stink, you got to know that there's something that smells good too. It's sort of like you can sit there and you can smell that wonderful fresh-cooked bread or whatever it is that you really enjoy smelling at your house that's cooking. And you're like smelling, you're excited, it's coming, you know it's going to come. Well, if you sit there and you let it, if you let it there cook and you cook too long, it starts burning, guess what happens? It goes from something that was smelling good to something that's starting to stink. Here in Ephesians chapter number 5, you have a picture of what Jesus Christ is and the sacrifice he gives and how we're supposed to be like that. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse number 1, it says, be therefore followers. Hey guys, for some reason, it's like I'm having some type of reverberation up back here, some type of echo from this mic. It doesn't bother me too much if it sounds good out there, but there you go. That's great. Chapter 5, verse number 1, it says, be therefore followers of God as dear children. So we're supposed to follow after the Lord, obviously. And walk in love. Now look what it says, as Christ. So we've been getting instruction here how we're supposed to live. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So it's a sweet-smelling, something that smells good. Here is saying that what smelled good was the fact that Christ was willing to do what he was called to do. He was willing to sacrifice himself, and that is a sweet-smelling favor. Okay, so okay, that makes sense. It's like back in the Old Testament, the sacrifices and the offerings that were given, they were, many times, they were something that was added to the offerings, and as the offerings went up, it released a sweet smell. As the offerings were consumed, the fragrance would come out. And what this is saying here, what is a sweet-smelling sacrifice to the Lord is when we walk as Christ walked and we give ourselves as an offering to God, because that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2, it talks about how we're supposed to be on the altars and giving ourselves as a sacrifice, not just a sacrifice, a living sacrifice. And that is reasonable that we do that. And when we offer ourselves up as a living sacrifice, it's something that smells sweet. It's something that smells good. So, and with this thought process here, there are things that smell sweet. There are things that are going to be an encouragement. There's things that are going to be helpful in the church. When someone is living for God and someone has given their life over to God and they've offered themselves as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, that's going to be a person that's going to smell good. That's going to be a person that smells, we'll say spiritually, smells good spiritually. That's someone who people are going to see Christ in their life. That's someone who they're going to say, hey, there's someone who looks like Christ and there's someone I want to be like because they're like Christ and there's someone you want to be around. And I tell you, there's people like that. I've been around people. I've been around preachers. I really enjoy getting to spend time with preachers sometimes, and you hear people that preach sometimes, and sometimes the guys that preach, they always don't always have the greatest personality. And sometimes there's reasons why we don't bring people around, because you spend time with them and they don't have that sweet-smelling savor as a life of sacrifice. And then you find people who you see that walk with the Lord, people who you enjoy being around because they represent Christ and they reflect Christ. And there's things in their life that causes things to have a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. It's good to be around. It's something that encourages you to be around. I want to be one of those people. I want to be someone who walks with the Lord. I don't want to have blemishes or dead flies in my life that I allow this part of my life to turn people away. They turn around and say, well, that just stinks. Now, they might do this good, and they may do this good, and they may do this good, but this area of their life, they have allowed to sit there and fester to the point where it actually stinks to be around them. And I know we use kids as an illustration, but the truth is it happens in adults too. They allow a sin in their heart and their life. They refuse to get it right. And as they refuse to get it right, it starts stinking. And people just don't want to be around them. And that's a challenge here for tonight is I need to look at my life and say, is there something in my life? Is there rebellion that I have? Is there an attitude that I have? Is my mouth something that does not really bring honor to Christ? Is there something in my heart that is causing to turn people away? And I know it's a simple thought, but the reality is we've all been around people that stink before. We've all been around people, and we just learn to accept them. We just learn to accept, say, hey, that's just how they are. But we know that there's something that is causing us to say, you know what? It's not easy to serve with them. because they stink. Not physically, but spiritually. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. So the point number one is something that smells good, which is a life that is offered unto the Lord as Christ did. It's not a self-serving life, it's a self-sacrificing life. And that sacrifice, that offering was something that God says, that is a sweet-smelling savor. And when a person says, here, Lord, this is your life, you can have it, it's yours, that is a sweet-smelling savor. That is the ointment. That's the freshness. That's what we can be. We can be something that attracts people to Christ. We can be someone that says, there's something different about them. And I think that evangelism is important. I think it's important to talk to people and to be a witness. Some people say, I just do lifestyle evangelism, and the idea that they're just going to let their life speak for them. The Bible doesn't say that's all you should do, but you should have a life that backs up the gospel. There's been a change in my life, and God's made a change. And because God's made a change, look what he's done for me. He can do the same for you. But like I said, sometimes there's these dead flies that land in people's lives that turn people away. And I want to look at a couple of them tonight. And so as we go back to Ecclesiastes, it's not chapter 5, it's chapter 10. In Ecclesiastes chapter number 10, it says, a little folly. So we're going to even skip the little folly part because of the fact that it says a little folly, what it does to reputation for those that are in wisdom and honor. So in this idea of a little bit of folly and the idea you make one mistake, you know what? That's going to hurt your testimony. That's going to hurt your reputation. We're going to take it a step farther and say, what about the sin that's maybe in our heart and in our lives that continues to be there and it continues to leave a fragrance of stinking? The things that we need to work on, not just a little bit of folly. He's saying, look, just remember, one sin, one time, doing something can harm and damage your reputation forever. But what about those things that are in our heart and lives that need a change? And there's a few different things. And we use the word folly, so we're going to have the idea of a person who does foolish things. It's a great Bible study of what the Bible calls a fool. A lot of things the Bible calls a fool. So something that stinks or a dead fly in our life, a person with pride. A person with pride. A person who cannot be taught, someone who cannot be told anything, a person who is always right, a person that has to get their way, they stink sometimes. I mean, who really likes to be around those people? And you say, okay, Pastor, you're being judgmental. No, I'm trying to be scriptural here. We have an opportunity as a believer and as a child of God to be something that is a sweet-smelling savor, something that is right with God, something that we just don't have to put up with sin. We can have victory over sin. We can live a powerful, victorious Christian life. But sometimes we allow these flies, these dead flies that ruin the ointment, that ruin the opportunity to be a sweet-smelling savor to God because of things in our lives. So the first thing I want you to think about is pride. When I think about pride, I think of someone who thinks very highly of themselves. And when I think of someone who thinks very highly of themselves, I think of someone who feels like, hey, you can't tell them anything. They can't teach them anything. And the Bible calls that person a fool. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:22 keeps on, it says, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Are you a teachable person? Do you have it all? Have you apprehended? Have you arrived? Are you like Christ? The answer is no. But many times we live our lives like we are that person. We need to make sure that we're not being prideful. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And as those that say, well, that's how you feel. That's just your opinion. I'm going to do this. Is it scriptural? Is it right? And in churches sometimes, and in believers' lives, we get to the point that we allow a dead fly into our lives and we begin stinking in our testimony because of the fact that we're prideful. God resisteth the proud. If God's going to resist you, guess what? Other people are going to resist you too. And instead of being that light, instead of being that sweet savor, you start smelling. And it's not good. We need to work on our pride many times. Proverbs 15:5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. We have a generation that's coming up that does not listen to the older generations. they have a generation that's coming up many times that think that we're outdated, antiquated, whatever you want to call it. But the Bible talks about wisdom and learning wisdom from older people too. And no, not all older people are right. Sometimes they're wrong. But at the same time, there should be a respect that's shown there. But people are trying to throw out the windows of the things that the church has been built on and the things that the church has believed and the things that the church has taught for years. And they're just saying, it doesn't work today. And there are people who are prideful that even if you show them something from Scripture and you make application from Scripture and try to teach them things, in their pride, they can't admit they're wrong. The fool is right in his own eyes. I want to encourage you tonight, it really stinks sometimes when people are so prideful in their own heart, in their own life, that they feel like they can never learn anything through the Scriptures. And we probably know somebody like that. And I'm not saying, hey, let's say, well, who do you think the most prideful person in the church is, and start pointing out names, because you might point at me. I don't know. But at the same time, this is one area of your life. If you're not someone who is a learner or someone who wants to be instructed, someone who wants wisdom, a person who despises the wisdom, a person who despises instruction, a person that hates correction, this can become a person that stinks. Second thing is, not only a prideful person, a person who uses their mouth improperly. A person who uses, and I was going to say the word mouthy, but I thought it might just sound a little bit nicer to say a person who uses their mouth improperly. We've been around people who use their mouths the wrong way, and sometimes it stinks. You go to James, it talks about how can good and bad come from the same spot, talking about your mouth. And the answer is no. The reality is, and I've been in church, and I wasn't trying to brag earlier, but it's kind of brought to my mind, been in church for over 47 years, and I've probably been one of those people that stink. I've probably been one of those people who are, as I told you before, my mouth gets me in trouble, especially when I wasn't trying to live for the Lord. I was a mouthy kid. You go back and you talk to my elementary school teachers and my high school teachers and the people I grew up with, I was mouthy. I didn't use my mouth right, and it stunk. I helped teach junior church since I was in sixth grade all the way up to 29. And there were times in my life that I was the person that was trying to teach the kids. And of course, I wouldn't do it around the kids per se, but the reputation and the testimony I had, it stunk. Why is it? Because my mouth was wrong. And I choose not to look at it. I choose not to accept it. I said, hey, I'm faithful to church. Hey, I give. Hey, faith, I'm serving. I'm doing all these things without even understanding and knowing that my life stunk because my mouth was wrong. Think about what the Bible says about a fool in his mouth. Even in Proverbs 17:28, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed as a man of understanding. I threw that verse in there to help you understand. If you stay quiet, lots of times people won't know that you're foolish. That is a great verse to learn. Somebody that talks a lot sometimes too, and they say, you've sat, and sometimes you're impressed. When you hear somebody, and I don't want to use the word testimony, but when you hear somebody talk out in public, maybe you go to a commissioner meeting, and someone gets up, and they say something insightful. Maybe they're your neighbor, and you're thinking, hey, that guy's got something to say. He's pretty wise. Then you get somebody else up there, and they're there, and within like 10 seconds, you're being like, that guy needs to sit down. He's being foolish with his speech. Look what it says in verse number 3. It says, yea, also, when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Does that mean he's wearing a sign that says, hey, look at me, I'm a fool, front and back? He's not. But what it's saying is, when he gets up and he talks, people see that he's a fool. He doesn't have to walk around and shout, hey, over here, fool of the year. All he's got to do is talk. Sometimes when people talk, and I know because we're in church, we're being generous, we're being kind to people, we're being forgiving of people. I get all that. But there's a time when we need to deal with our own sin in our lives, and we've got to say, God expects us to be the sweet-smelling savior, someone who's representing him, someone that's reflecting him, someone that is seeing a person that has sold out for God, and they've sacrificed themselves to the Lord, and they want to prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. But then there's that dead fly in their life, and sometimes it's people's mouths. And if you learn to stay quiet sometimes, then you won't look foolish. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. And as a person who's there and trying to be contentious, all the time? It's something he thinks. Proverbs 19:1, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Once again, the Bible's saying a little folly is going to hurt your reputation. But I honestly believe that when you choose to use your mouth in an improper way over and over, your reputation is going to hurt, and you're going to look like a fool, like it says in verse number 3, and it's going to stink. Instead of it being a sweet-smelling savor that people are going to want to work together and we're going to want to labor together, instead of someone who's going to want to be a co-laborer together with you there, man, it really stinks to work with that guy because he doesn't know how to use his mouth for things that are good. Now, once again, he said, well, I know who that I'm not preaching to anybody specifically. I'm looking at things that the Bible says is foolish. And it's a danger when we use our mouth improperly, when we're prideful and we can't be taught anything, or when we use our mouth improperly. Proverbs 21:20 says, there is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it. So that is not the one that goes along with the speech. So the next one is uses his mouth improperly. And then someone who tries to live without believing there is a God. Someone who tries to live without believing there is a God. And Psalm 14:1, the fool have said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Now we read that verse and it's quick and easy to say amen because, hey, I know there's a God. I'm not that type of fool. That's not a dead fly you can put on me, Pastor. Okay, we believe that there were a God. But I said the person who lives their life like there's no God. There's a difference. A Christian and a believer can make decisions without even consulting and thinking about what God wants. They live their lives sometimes without remembering someday they will be before God, before Christ, at that judgment seat of Christ. The Bema seat. You're going to be there. And we live our lives without even knowing that there's a God, but without even considering it. We get up without giving any consideration. We don't pray. We don't read our Bible. Or if we do read our Bible and pray, we spend the rest of our lives, the rest of our days, the rest of our hours. Hey, this is what I want to do. Hey, I'm going to live my life today like this decision is only going to affect me. And I don't care what God thinks. And when a person acts that way inside a church house, not talking about a person who says there is no such thing as God, not talking about an atheist, but I'm talking about believers that live their life without even giving God a consideration, it stinks. Because why? They're not living for Him. They're not developing a life that is Christ-like. They're not being yoking together as believers. Instead, they're saying, this is what I want. This is how I feel. This is how it must be done without considering God. You know, is God going to tell one person that's living for Him one thing and tell someone else that's living for Him something different? No. Now, sometimes in the scriptures, I know there's good men that disagree on some principles or some preferences. I understand that. But I'm talking about in a heart and life that as you're serving God and having desire to be a blessing and believing and putting God first, we move forward as a church because we believe that we've put God in the equation and we want God. It's not about me. It's not about what I think. It's about what He wants. And a person that tries to live their lives without putting God into consideration, yes, they will not say that they're an atheist in their beliefs, but they act like an atheist in their actions. And that's going to cause your life to smell. It's going to stink. Another one, a person that is not content, a person who is jealous in a sense. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:34, for jealousy is the rage of man, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. Go ahead and take your Bible to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, Jesus gives a parable there, and he's talking about a person that does not find contentment, the guy who pulls down his barns, the guy who does all those different things, and you know he doesn't put God in the equation, and he wants more. And what does the Bible call him? It calls him a fool. And when a person is jealous of another person inside of church because maybe they sang the part that they wanted to sing, or they got to speak, or they get some more attention than others, you know what happens? They start to stink. It's like a dead fly in the ointment. It's right there and saying, I'm going to care more about what I have or what I can get or what everybody else gets than I am about putting God first in my life. What is a sweet-smelling savior? It's a person that's not self-serving, but they're self-sacrificing. And we've been around people in our lives, and I don't want you to try to point anybody else out. I want you to look in your own heart. And as I was studying and as I was looking at this, what is in my life that is going to cause people to go, that smells bad. Something needs to change. There's something wrong there. It doesn't smell like Christ. It doesn't look like Christ. It doesn't act like Christ. There's something wrong in my own heart, in my own life. And that's what I want you to do. You know, I think we got a wonderful, wonderful group of churches, wonderful group of church family. I don't think many of these things apply to many people because we get good at acting a certain part. We get good at looking right, and we get good at saying the right things and going through the motions. But as the years go along, the reality comes up, and sometimes ugly things appear up, and it's like, man, what's wrong with them? They stink. And it's sort of like that teenager that you know that could do so much for God. And I've seen it growing up, and they could do so much for God. And they have so many talents, they have so many abilities, and they have a great family, they have a great church, they have great this, great that. And then they let one thing get in their heart, and one thing get in their life, and their life completely changes. It starts to stink because of the fact they've let a dead fly get in something that's supposed to be precious. And I've seen it many times in other people's lives too, is they let one thing ruin their testimony or their effectiveness for God. We love them. They're faithful to church. They even serve in certain ways. But there's something there that just doesn't smell right. We need to work on it. Think about what it says here in Luke chapter 12. It says in verses 13 through 21, And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto a man who made me, he says, look, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things that which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, he acted like there wasn't a God. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool. It's a foolish person. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So what the scriptures is saying here is a person that is not content. Look what it says in verse 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. A person that is not satisfied, a person who is jealous, a person that is covetous, is a person that many times in their actions, they're going to stink. And I want to encourage you tonight, we don't want to be a church that stinks. We want to be a church that is a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. Just as Christ walked in love and was willing to give himself up, that made a sweet sacrifice. Ephesians is saying that's what we're supposed to do. So tonight, when you look at this and you consider this, okay, you got this great box of perfume, and it smells wonderful. And even back in Bible times, it's things that were precious. You think about Mary when she anointed Christ. It's something similar to that type of perfume. Very expensive, very precious. Something that's great. Something to be thankful for that you have. And then something flies in and it ruins it. It stinks. It makes you like, ew, we got to get rid of this. But it's precious, it's beautiful, it's worth a lot. It's worthless now. I'll give you an illustration. I like Chinese food a little bit. I don't like everything, but I do like some Chinese food. And I was there one time, we were eating Chinese, we got Chinese, and we were there and we were eating at General Tso. That's one of my favorites. I'm there and I'm eating, the family's eating, and when we get Chinese, we like it because there's a lot there. And I like to eat a lot when I eat. So I'm sitting there, I'm eating, and while I'm eating, I come across a roach inside my rice. It was only half of one. It actually looked like pork, you know, pork fried rice is what you get with the General Tso. It had like 3/4 of a roach sitting there inside of it. It was dead because it was only 3/4. I didn't finish the food. something that I was really enjoying, something I was looking forward to, it made my stomach turn. And I talked to the person that, I don't know if they own it or they run it, told them what happened. I've been there a number of times. I'm not going to tell you where it is. They said they'd never had that problem before, at least that they know of. And it's somebody I actually trust. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, right, but I've been there many times. And it made me sick to think that I was eating food. I could have just picked up that thing and put it in my mouth. Just made me sick. You know what my boys are saying? Oh, just push it out. Just finish it. It tastes good. No, they didn't. They did say, hey, Dad, you want some of mine? I says, I'm not eating anything from there. My wife's closing up her container. It's like, nope, not going to eat that. And I don't remember what Christian and Andrew did, but it turned my stomach because in my food sitting there, there was a roach. Now, I managed restaurants when I was 18, 19, and 20. So things do happen sometimes, actually from 17 to 19 or whatever it was. And things do happen. Even if you have plenty of people come in, you still every once in a while, you might see something somewhere. So I believe the person when they said it. But doesn't that make your stomach turn? You think about it, ooh, that's disgusting. I remember the joke that was a long time ago, the guy calls the waiter and says, hey, look, there's a fly in my soup. And the waiter says, that's okay, he won't eat much. And I always thought that was funny until I found the roach inside my Chinese. He wasn't eating anything, but he was there. And I was like, that is completely disgusting. I don't want anything to do with that. Didn't really want anything to do with the store, but because of its reputation, I was willing to try it again. Sometimes when we have a dead fly in our heart and life, we react the way that I reacted to that roach. I don't want to have anything to do with that person. It's turning my stomach. And I don't want to have anything to do with what they represent. I mean, my family was closing up their food and saying, Dad's got a roach in his. This isn't good anymore. And I truly have seen people be turned away because of dead flies in people's lives. Because they're not reflecting Christ, they're reflecting something that stinks. And that's not the way church is supposed to be. And I want to encourage you, you sit there and you read this passage of scripture, you take this with you and you think, well, a little folly can hurt a person's reputation, they can hurt their honor, just a little bit of folly. Now imagine something you've been struggling with for years that you haven't gotten right. Your mouth, pride, things like that can cause people's stomachs to turn and be like, I don't have anything to do with it. It stinks. I think my wife has a very sensitive nose. She smells things that I don't smell. And the boys, when we ask, do you smell it? They don't want to answer anymore because they're going to get in trouble because they don't know who to agree with. And so it's the idea, and there are certain things that she walks into a room and says, it stinks in here. And I don't smell it. And she doesn't even want to be there. And there are sometimes people that are sensitive to that. But in all reality, is there something in our life that stinks? Is there something that we show? And I think over the years, I think of the beautiful young people that I watch growing up, and we try to invest and pour their lives in. And it's easy to talk about kids because we don't like to look at ourselves when we talk about kids. But I've watched it, and they let some type of dead fly in their heart and life. Everybody else can see it. Everybody else is saying, hey, you want to fix that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to hurt you. And their testimony stinks now. No longer do they serve. No longer do they even go to church. And if they do go to church, they're not doing what they could or should do because there's a dead fly right in their life that has caused people to say, I don't really want to do anything with you. You're more somebody that I feel like I got to reach and I got to pray for and I got to tiptoe around than someone I get to work with. And once again, there are people like that. We're supposed to minister. We're supposed to grow. We're supposed to, I was reading this past week talking about what he gives some apostles and some this, some teachers, some preachers. And then it says for the perfecting of the saints. That's what God gave us for. And God, I'm working on a sermon. What are we here for? I mean, who are we? Or as a pastor, what's my responsibility as a man, as a woman, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, all those different things. And we are here for the perfecting the saints. We're not saying let's kick somebody out of the church just because they smell bad. But we don't want to be that person that stinks. We don't want to be that dead fly in the ointment that is causing something that is supposed to be precious and supposed to be beautiful. And you see people's lives and you read stories in the Bible. You read biographies about people who have given their hearts and lives over, people who walk with God. And they have that personality. They have that, maybe personality is the wrong word. They have that spirit about them. You want to be near them. You know they love God. And you know that they're walking with the Lord. And you know that they have wisdom. You know that they are somebody who that looks, and we'll use the word smells. We don't know what Christ smells like, but it's a sweet-smelling savor just to be near them. But then there's us, me included, that probably has those dead flies that we need to work on. I could have kept on eating that Chinese food. Wasn't going to do that. We can keep on letting the dead flies be in our hearts and lives. And all it's going to do is keep on making us sick. I don't know if the roach would have made me sick or not. And sometimes the dead flies don't make us sick, but it makes the people around us. So my challenge for you tonight is take this home with you and go before the Lord with an open heart, a willing sacrifice, and say, God, is there something in my life I need to change? Now, pride isn't just one. You know, not being covetous, using your mouth right. You know, these are just some. I mean, you could have used bad attitude. You could have used all types of things. But we're trying to stick with the folly that's meaning in Ecclesiastes chapter number 10 that the Bible correlates with a fool. But there is a ton of things. A person who's not willing to serve. It stinks sometimes when someone sits there and watch you do all the work and they're just there and they're able to help. And it's like, ugh, what? Yeah. Oh, I love Jesus. Okay, great. And it's, you know, sometimes it stinks. And we got to realize in our own hearts and let God do the work. It's not my job to bring up the things. It's my job to present the Word of God, to make application. It's the Holy Spirit that does the spiritual work in our hearts and lives. But if we have an open heart and an open mind that says, okay, Lord, I don't want to stink. And sometimes I probably do. Is there something I need to change? Because I want people. As we talked about this morning, there is a great need out there. There is people that we can help. We do have Christ. We do have the Word of God. We do have the Holy Spirit. We can make a difference in people's lives. But if we stink, people aren't going to want to come. People aren't going to want to be around you. Does that make it okay for them? No. They have to answer for themselves. But I definitely don't want God to be sniffing around me and saying, man, he stinks. I'd rather have that sweet-smelling savor, that one that says, I'm pleased with what you're doing. That sacrifice, that offering that was given, a sweet-smelling savor. Christ, when he died on that cross, yes, it was horrible to see and look at, but it was a sweet-smelling savor for God because it was a sacrifice. Things may be hard and tough sometimes. They might not be enjoyable. But if we're a willing and open sacrifice to him, it smells good to him. Let me encourage you. There's sometimes some things that stink. And we don't want to be a part of that. So those dead flies, they get in that ointment and they ruin something that's supposed to be special. Those sins that come into our lives ruin something that's supposed to be special. If you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. You know what that means? You can have the fruits of the Spirit. You can do all these different things. You can be someone that is Christ-like. But many times, some of us stink, and we need to work on it. Thankfully, the Word of God can clean us up. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Holy Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to guest preach your Word. God, we want to help people. We're here on a Sunday night. It's sleeting outside. People stayed home because they're concerned about the roads. I understand that. We're here in the midst of what they're calling a pandemic. It would be so easy to stay home. And I know some, rightfully so, are concerned. And Lord, I want them to have their own relationship with you and develop those things. And Lord, we're here because we want to help. Those that are watching tonight, they're watching, and sometimes even the live stream struggles, they want to help. They want to make a difference. And God, we got to come to this point to understand that the difference can only be made with you. And there might be something in our lives that's turning other people away. I think if we went around this room, we could say we all have known people that said they were Christians and believers that have done things that stunk before, that turned us away. Lord, we don't want to be like that. And Lord, we know we all make mistakes, and there is a little folly that can hurt a person that is honorable and that's a wise person. We need to repent of that, apologize all we need to. We need to forgive, as we heard in Sunday school this morning. I understand all that. But Lord, speak to our hearts individually tonight about areas in our life that might stink. Reveal those unto us. Whether it's being rebellious, whether it's being, oh Lord, there's so many things. Help us not to be turning other people's stomach. Instead, help us to be a sweet-smelling savor to you and a wonderful testimony of what Christ is like to others. In Jesus' name, amen.